tonight we have in the studio the fabulously fascinating Jeffrey Jacobson from the University of Pittsburgh Information Sciences Institute.
School of Information Sciences.
And we're going to be taking a little bit of a departure from our usual topics on the show tonight. We're going to be talking about alternative lifestyles, and in particular, as you and I were talking about earlier, it seems like that homosexuality is really a young person's sexual orientation. It seems like, you know, the teenagers are all doing it. The people in the young 20s. The people in college are experimenting with homosexuality, obviously. People in high school are. I mean, if you go to Pegasus on a Thursday night, it's packed with 18 to 25-year-olds. The question is, when you get a little bit older, you know, when you're 30 or 40 or older, is there any hope for a man to be a sexually active homosexual? And so that's going to be the topic for tonight. I want to share our phone number with our listeners. It's 621-WRCT, let's just jump into it. So Jeff, I mean, I myself am a little bit older. I myself am 32 years old, and I'm actually starting to feel feel the ravages of age. I mean, you know, when I was 21, it was very easy to like have somebody hit on me. I mean, people are attracted, I think, to youth automatically, even if you're kind of skanky looking. As long as you're young, I mean, there's some sort of appeal to sort of a youthful person. And once you get a little bit older, it's actually kind of sad because I think people are not sort of automatically attracted to you in that kind of.
I think I know what you mean. There's sort of two levels to this. One is we've got a youth-obsessed culture here. It probably started in the 60s. And looking good is equated with looking young. Oh, you look so good for your age. You look so good that you look like you're blah, blah, blah years old. And, you know, you look 10 years younger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing is, which is kind of backward, is that younger guys look prettier. They have actually some more feminine characteristics, particularly guys in, you know, their late teens, early 20s, and they can be very attractive to men who are, I don't know what to call them. I guess they're, you know, homosexual, but they want someone who is a little bit more female. I've never understood that myself because that's not the way I'm oriented. I mean, if a guy's really good looking, I'm not going to turn him down just because he's 20. But I haven't had many opportunities.
So, I mean, I actually find this last comment you made sort of ironic. I mean, you know, presumably, if you're a homosexual, you're going to be attracted to someone who's a man, not someone with feminine qualities. I mean, can you like explain this irony? I mean, if you wanted someone who's feminine, presumably you would just go for a woman.
Right.
After all, they are feminine.
Gender is a continuum, and you know, there are masculine-looking women, feminine-looking men. I mean, look at Leonardo DiCaprio. He is a major heterosexual heartthrob, and he probably would look great in a dress.
I haven't totally figured out. I mean, by any objective standard, Leonardo DiCaprio is actually ugly. I mean, I think we can all agree with that, right? I mean, the man is very strange looking. He's strange looking. I mean, he's a fabulously talented actor, of course. We all know this, but he's freaky looking, right?
I don't agree with either of those statements. I think his looks are much more of a qualification than his acting ability.
I mean, people. I think there are people who are not familiar with Mr. DiCaprio's earlier work. I'm sorry, I mean, he was brilliant in, you know, What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that movie with Johnny Depp. It's fabulous, fabulous. And The Basketball Diaries, right? I mean, I'm not talking about Titanic or, you know, The Man in the Iron Mask or all of his, like, later sort of popular stuff. But I mean, I think he's the man is a gifted, talented actor, what can I say? Obviously, you disagree.
I have not seen those facts. Films. I was appalled by his performance in The Man in the Iron Mask.
I, before we go on, who is this person?
My producer wants to remind us that, of course, Leonardo made his breakthrough. Is that, I think, the younger brother in Growing Pains. Was that what it was? Yes, and where he played, I believe I don't know what his name was, the young, confused homosexual Biff.
Really?
Also, I have to ask our producers to like fix whatever problem it is that's making an echo in here because it's driving me crazy.
Who is this person who wandered in so eloquently?
Who? Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, him.
Luke.
I am Luke, a co-host on the show that regrettably delayed.
Hello, Luke.
Well, thank you for joining us, Luke, but we have a phone call, so I have to suppress you almost immediately. hello, caller.
Good evening. I was just calling to throw in my two cents as a heterosexual woman that Leonardo DiCaprio does nothing for me.
Oh, thank God. A woman after my own heart.
Thank you.
I mean, so you like me have... Yeah, so, you know, there was this rumor that Leonardo and Demi Moore had some fabulous, like, torrid sexual affair while Bruce Willis was away. And you like me can see...
Why?
Why exactly? I couldn't put it my better. I mean, the man is—he's freaky looking.
Yeah,
and he looks so boyish. I wouldn't imagine having sex with him.
Well, color.
Yeah, I would really agree. Unfortunately, all of you, I'm driving a car right now, so I should really pay attention to that. But have a pleasant evening.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling. So for the other kind of lonely travelers out there, the phone numbers again are 621-WRCT. I mean, I think, you know, if you're like craving kind of the teen actor thing, there are so many worthy teen actors to like go for. I mean,
well, sure.
So in the old days, I mean, this is probably going to date me, but when I was growing up, C. Thomas Howell was probably solely responsible for turning me gay. This was a kid, and he was in The Outsiders. He was in what else was he in? He was in Soul Man. I don't know if you remember that movie. It was he's a bunch of really bad movies, but. But he was in the Red Dawn. He was one of the little rebel boys in Red Dawn.
Thank you so much for clearing that up. I thought that C. Thomas Howell was like the one of the rich characters on Gilligan's Island.
No, that was Thurston Howell. That was the character's name. Thurston Howell and his wife.
He's the old guy.
Lovey. I don't know if she actually had a name other than. Didn't he call her Lovey?
Yes.
Anyway.
So wow. Where were we? Why you were talking about youth, what it's like to be just a little bit older in college particularly and be gay.
Right. I want to say to all seriousness, if you're of college age right now and, you know, you think you might be having homosexual feelings, for God's sake, act on them now while you still can. I mean, I'm serious. If you, if like me, you know, you turn 30 and basically it's over. I mean, you know, you have to basically start paying for sex or settle down with someone who, like, likes you, who loves you for the real you, but please, you know, leverage this kind of the youthful glow that you have while you can, because believe me, there's.
I disagree, actually, because there's a world beyond the university. I've actually seen it. It's hard to believe that it's there.
Look, tell me about this world of yours. Tell me of your world.
Well, I don't claim to own it, but. People do graduate and they get jobs and they continue to be gay or straight after work, and you know there are gay organizations out in the city. Some of them are special interests, like, you know, the bike club. They get together and mountain bike.
There's a gay mountain bike club in the city?
Not mountain, trail biking.
Really?
Yeah, they're a really good bunch, actually. Flying Colors. They're in Planet Q. I didn't intend to make a plug there, but they're a good bunch.
We're not opposed to plugs here.
There's the Gay Lesbian Community Center. That's it's physically in Squirrel Hill, but it's an umbrella for a huge plethora of groups. Steel City Softball League, the LGLV, they're the politically active ones who are involved in every election. I mean, I could go on and name – about 30 that are right here in Pittsburgh.
Well, I think you should. So I've for a while. So the ones that I know about, I used to play in the gay volleyball league, and that was actually quite a bit of fun. And,
yeah.
There was a gay bowling league.
Yes.
And I believe there's a gay softball. You mentioned the softball league already.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There were yoga classes at the GLCC at one point.
Really?
There was a gay science fiction club for a few years.
That sounds a little painful.
I've got this great T-shirt. It shows Nimoy in drag as a dominatrix. Yeah, and I'm just waiting to wear that. But anyway.
Wow.
So there are people who are your age, older than you, and younger than you all the time. This is kind of a universal constant until you get to be 90. Then there's nobody older than you. But
right.
And every man over 45 that I've encountered who is single has hit on me or developed a crush on me just because, you know, I'm
really
mid-30s. And I'm sure a younger guy. I mean, that's not true. That's not true at all. But I get guys who are older than me chasing after me, you know. There are guys my age, you know, 30s, who are still single and are unattached. And a lot of them are very sexy. And I saw a lot of them at the Creating Change conference, actually, that took place here in Pittsburgh.
The national group. What are they called again? The Human Rights Campaign Fund? No.
The NGLTF, National Gay and Lesbian Task Force.
And they had their annual conference just here in Pittsburgh?
They've done it. This is the second year in a row they've had it in Pittsburgh.
Fabulous.
There were hundreds of people there, actually probably about 1,500. I didn't realize it wasn't on my mental radar, so I didn't go there for very long.
Oh, so you did attend part of it. Did you go to any of the talks?
No, I didn't. I was just hung around for a couple hours. I was there to put up flyers.
Was there like a huge crowd of like completely fabulous men? I mean, was it a total sex fest zone or what?
Well, it wasn't. It was like people were there, unlike a bar, right? Which would suck because there's nothing to do at a bar except sort of drink and look at each other,
right?
You know, and wonder if saying hello is tantamount to let's get married. I'm sorry.
You're causing all kinds of painful flashbacks to.
Yeah, I hate going to bars unless I have friends to go with. Anyway, here was a great big conference with a lot of people with something interesting to do, interesting things to do together, you know, which is, you know, getting together these political action activities to pressure lawmakers or to organize groups that are going to go and protest down at the Casanova, things like that. And so it took the pressure off of saying hello to someone. And then you can just be, and then you've got a really good chance of getting a date, ironically.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did it work for you? Did you get a date at the...
I was only there for an hour. Even I don't operate that quickly. And I'm not that beautiful either.
Wow.
But see, that's not what that conference was for. It was a little more like normal life if everyone was gay. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. So, yeah, I managed to miss this completely somehow. I don't know what I was doing. Probably at home sobbing. But I am sorry that I missed that. That sounds fabulous. So, you know, was anything resolved at this conference? Did they have some new agenda for, like, creating change in 1999?
I can't speak to that. They were basically just continuing their work of political organizing, you know, creating groups.
Well, so I think one thing that you can comment on, I just got this off the fax machine here at the WRCT studio. There's apparently some kind of a dance, a benefit ball, something tomorrow.
Yes.
So I've got this flyer, and it says Wednesday, November 18th in the ballroom of the William Pitt Student Union. This is tomorrow, Wednesday at 8 p.m. This is some kind of benefit.
The ballroom at the Pitt Union is this out-of-control Rococo nightmare of mirrors and decorations. It's gorgeous. It's a big old queen. Essentially, it was done up in the late 19th century and not changed.
Really?
Yeah. It's worth going there just to see it. Anyway.
So the people that are going to be there are Pittsburgh's only punk rock drag band, which is called Paul Lind 451, which I think is a hilarious name, even if I don't fully understand it. Singer-songwriter Joey Murphy and the comedic stylings of Mama. And I guess all proceeds benefit the GLCC Library. And it's sponsored by your very own Open Mind organization, which apparently you belong to, and the Pitts School of Library and Information Sciences. So tomorrow, I think we're all – I mean, I'm going to certainly be there. This is a dance? Is this the thing that you kind of experience?
It's a bit of both. The ballroom is carpeted, so it's going to be hard to dance. But it's still fun anyway. And you can, you know, to a punk band, you can dance any way you want to. To unpack some of this, they've named themselves. They're four straight guys, these guys.
Paul Lind 451.
Paul 451. They're all straight. They dress and drag. They're extremely fertile imaginations are warped in tremendously perverse ways. If you watch the old Hollywood Squares and you listen to what Paul Lind is really saying, you'll see why they named themselves after that guy. He was a sick meat.
My curiosity has peaked.
And Mama is a comedian, and Joey Murphy writes songs and sings them. We're not going to have any food or alcohol there. I mean, it's just too expensive. We're just a student group. But the proceeds are going to go to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center's library, which is has open access to everyone. It's down in Squirrel Hill, near right at Forward Avenue, the intersection of Forward and Murray, is where the GLCC headquarters are. They have a library of gay and gay-related literature, such as fiction books that happen to have a gay character, nonfiction books about coming out or coming of age or being married, you know, any kind of book you can imagine that relates to homosexuality, you know, they've got there. And we're going to hopefully give them a few hundred bucks more to buy more books and organize them better.
Is there a recommended donation for this event?
I believe my little sign here says it's $3 at the door is the recommended donation. I'm not even sure it's recommended. It appears to be the ticket price.
Mandatory.
So that's okay. The mandatory donation. But, yeah. Nate, it sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, if you go there, you will, of course, have the chance to meet some of your fabulous Loveline hosts, because I certainly intend to be there rocking with Paul Lind 451 and the other fabulous talent. And so it sounds like a great time. That's tomorrow at 8 p.m. at the William Pitt Student Union Ballroom. So yeah, I guess the GLCC is a pretty tremendous resource for Pittsburgh people. I mean, they have you can go there and access their library, presumably confidentially.
They have a youth group too.
How young do you have to be in this youth group? I guess I'm not eligible to be in this youth group. Is that right?
The term grandpa comes to mind.
See, that's one of the painful. Side effects of aging is just, you know, I don't get carded anymore. I mean, the most painful thing that happened to me was I was walking through some door with somebody and kind of someone else got through at the same time. And she said, "Oh, go ahead, sir."
I'm like, yeah.
If you call me sir again, I'm going to spank you. I mean, that's.
I had someone call me teach.
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 Well, even teach it. I mean, that's kind of got that kind of 50s. Or, you know, it's got some kind of retro quality to it, which is kind of
I don't know, Corey. I think I'm not giving you much mercy since I'm older than you are. But being in your 30s, It's a fabulous time of life. It really is.
Interesting. How about being in your 30s and being in grad school? Is it still fabulous?
I am enjoying it 100%. You know, still old enough to know how, still young enough to do it, old enough to, you know, in most things, right? You know, I get a certain amount of respect, you know, because I'm a, you know, all grown up. People don't assume I'm stupid just because I have a, you know, a smooth, beautiful face. I hated that, you know, when you were 23 and you had an opinion and people wouldn't listen to you because you were young. That's, you know, I disagree with that. I listen to young people. But, you know.
I don't think people still listen to me. I don't think it happens.
Well, maybe that's a, I don't know, Kurt. But seriously, I mean, before this, I had a job where I made great money because I'm a computer nerd, and I couldn't stand having money, so I had to go back to school. You know, I'm here because I want to be in school, and I'm doing stuff I could never do in industry. And I mean, I personally am attracted to guys who are physically grown up. You know, men don't physically mature until they're about 28. Now, there are a lot of great-looking young guys. You know, there's no question about it. But, you know, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but, you know, nothing looks better than a guy who's in shape and, you know, in his 30s to me.
What? Yeah. In shape and in his 30s?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. So I don't believe you. So I believe if some, like, pouty little tragic 19-year-old walked in here right now and said, Jeff, please take care of me, you know, still glistening with sweat from the gym or whatever, you know, fresh off the treadmill, you would just be like, your tongue would be on the floor. You would be scratching my eyes out, you know,
to get
to him first. I mean, let's be honest here.
Well. no, I'm not. Of course I would. I mean, you know, I mean, if he was good looking, but I mean, that same guy, I think, would look better with at least five years on him, you know, because, I mean, I don't know. Part of it is, though, that when people are young, they sort of glow with, you know, health.
Suppressed rage and violence.
Well, maybe we should have a young person here to defend themselves. I don't think any young person in his right mind would step in the room with you right now.
Yeah, maybe that's my problem. So they can call in 621-WRCT is phone number.
Well, I'll tell you who's a real turn-on. Patrick Stewart.
Oh, you're... You're joking.
That bald guy with the big nose.
We're talking about Jean-Luc Picard.
You are so right. I hear screams of agony in the next room. I think I've killed
you. I think all across Pittsburgh people are screaming in agony. I mean,
well, he was ranked TV's most sexy man, wasn't he? By TV Guide.
You know, this movie is coming out. Star Trek Insurrection, I believe, is coming out just any day now, like November 30th or something. And how can I go to this movie now thinking that, like, you're having homosexual feelings about Captain Picard? I mean, it's just ruined it for me.
Well, I mean, he's certainly not pretty. It's that voice. It's that manner.
No, I can actually sort of see that.
I'm closer to 40 than you are, bud.
I've been fond of Patrick Stewart ever since his breakthrough performance in Dune, which he played Duncan Idaho, I think, if I'm not mistaken. The other Star Trek character who I think helped turn me gay was, of course, Wesley Crusher, and I don't think I fully appreciated this at the time, but I've been watching Star Trek. The Next Generation reruns on whatever it's on. It's on at 3 a.m. on some channel. I don't know. And his little jumpsuit was really quite.
That jumpsuit looks good on everybody. Yeah, him too. He's a pretty average-looking guy, though.
Do you think I should get one of these jumpsuits? See, these things don't. Actually, I saw Wesley.
The jumpsuit seems so impractical. Like, I don't know about you, but I need pockets.
Well, just as long as it has, like, a little excess port. I mean, I think it's perfect. Practical.
Well, it's part of the lost technologies. They lost the technology for seat belts as well, if you, if you watched it.
Right. Whenever they get hit by a torpedo, they're all flying across the bridge.
Yeah.
So you're saying they lost the technology of pockets in the centuries between us and them?
Interesting.
Well, I had a crush on the people I was hot for when I was younger was Warren Beatty.
Oh, my God.
He was stacked. And
stacked?
I mean, he's just gorgeous in the old days. Have you seen one of his old movies?
I have to grant you this. I mean, Warren Beatty looks totally freakish now, I admit. But yeah. I think when he was a little stud muffin, he was pretty
cute. Oh, yeah, he was. He's weird now.
What was his big, like, sexy role? I mean, we're talking about Shampoo or whatever that absurd movie was. Is that what you're talking about?
A wretched movie, yeah. That was one. He was in Bonnie and Clyde. Got to see him in a tank top there.
Really?
I thought, well, Robert Redford back in his day was very good looking. You know who was really gorgeous when he was young? Robert De Niro. I mean, you have to watch the original Godfather. But he was a very good looking man there.
I always get De Niro and Duvall mixed up. Which one is he?
Duvall.
They were all in The Godfather. De Niro and Duvall and...
Oh, yeah.
And...
De Niro was the Godfather. I mean, when he... He played the young Godfather. When he was first starting out.
Oh, God, this is so confusing.
Well, never mind.
Well, speaking of The Godfather, Marlon Brando himself was a babe before he became,
he
like...
He certainly was before he porked out.
Huge and mentally ill.
That doesn't turn me on at all. I just want to reassure you.
So anyway. And so I feel like we should, in all fairness, we should be just give lip service to the heterosexual community.
And what kind of lip service do you have in mind?
Whatever, you know, whatever they need, I'm willing to provide. But so, Luke, what were your teenage idols? I mean... Sally Field.
This is hard for me to remember. Actually, the people I remember having crushes on were, by and large, my classmates. I remember the posters I had up on the wall of my room were mostly supermodels. I remember Polina Portskova and Carol Alt.
Fabulous. Did you have the famous Farrah poster, as all boys did?
I did not. So.
I have to say, Catherine Deneuve is so beautiful. I could just look at her forever.
Catherine Deneuve is a lesbian, isn't she?
I don't know. I don't. She did a lesbian scene in The Hunger, great movie.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, you should watch that, Luke. You'd really. She does a lesbian scene with.
I should watch it.
And like lesbians and vampires. I mean, that's totally right up your alley.
Yes.
She is gorgeous. It's not even a sexual thing with me. She's just so beautiful.
There was another fabulous lesbian scene more recently in this movie, Wild Things. I don't know if you saw this, where Party of Fives. Oh, you know, what's her name from Party of Five? Julia. I don't know her actually.
Neve Campbell?
Yes, exactly. Neve Campbell?
I have no idea.
And some other babe, they have this, like, there's a couple kind of lesbian sort of sex scenes in there where they kiss and they kind of grope each other, and it's fabulous. And of course, as a bonus, you get to see Kevin Bacon's penis.
What?
For Kevin Bacon frontal nudity and Neve Campbell lesbian sex scene. I mean, what, you know, that's easily worth the price of your rental.
I don't know about Kevin Bacon.
Well, Kevin Bacon's kind of skanky looking, but he does have a fine body. I have to say, Kevin Bacon's been working on his body. Looks really good. And I think in order for him not to be ashamed, I think his penis was partially erect in this shot. I mean, because, you know, like in order for him to, like... You know, because like you can sort of like puff up your penis a little bit and make it sort of seem bigger without actually becoming erect. I think he did that because it was kind of sticking out a little bit in this little shower scene, and I think it made it look more impressive.
That level where it's kind of getting larger but still flopping around.
Yes, exactly. That was.
Luke, I have a question for you as a straight man. Maybe you understand this. Maybe you don't. I haven't figured it out. There are some guys who are flirtatious. I mean, I'm thinking of straight guys particularly.
Mm-hmm. Europeans, especially. All Europeans are this way. Continue.
Well, all Europeans read as gay to me, you know, but I mean, I know that the signals are off, and if I hear they've got a European accent, I say, okay, I don't know what's going on. So, but no, there are guys, American guys, who really are flirtatious, you know, with women and with other men, but they're straight, and I'm wondering if they do that. Is it just general friendliness, or is it just, you know, for the ego of it?
I can't say I've really noticed that myself. It's I can imagine guys like that, so certainly. And I would guess kind of a bit of both, kind of and general friendliness, but also a kind of flirtatious attitude towards the world, which I certainly have seen in some guys. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that there's certainly an ego boost there. But also that it's kind of unconscious, that once you've learned to deal with the world that way, it's habitual. Mm.
It's very clearly cute baby syndrome, right?
Cute baby?
Right? No, I'm serious. It's like someone's especially, you know, genetically gifted. And so they're born cute. Their mothers dote on them, like, for the first 5 years of their life. All they hear is, you're so cute, you're so cute, you're so cute. And they set up this kind of social feedback look where they're loop, where they act cute. People respond to them because they're cute. And they get everything that they want in life because... I mean, let's face it. Like, if someone's like really cute and friendly and has a little twinky little smile, you don't fear them. You want to give them things and like shelter them and provide them with whatever they need. And so, so unconsciously or not, that's indeed how they learn to deal with the world. Just like, you know, be cute and let people like fawn over and take care of you. I'm serious.
Yeah, I happened to know a person who is like that. I mean, he's straight, but he's kind of a salesman. You know, he basically seduces people. You know, and that's just part of it. And it came across to me, actually, once he found out I was gay, he was definitely flirting with me. I mean, he was making no, you know, but I'm thinking. He's straight. I know he's straight. You know, I see his walk. I hear his voice. You know, he's stereotypical. Well, okay, I can't spot people 100% like that, but
I'll grant that. I'll flirt with gay men occasionally because
just to tease them.
add to the torture. Add to their burden.
Just to bug them.
I mean, not to interrupt you, Luke, but what was the point that you were making? So the salesman friend that you had, who deliberately flirts with you, what happened with him?
Nothing. Well, actually, I said, hey, you know, are you serious or are you not? And he eventually, he said not. And so it's this weird thing. I mean, a lot of times, like I go out drinking, there's this whole... Yeah, very often I'll be like the only gay guy in a big group of people. And the guys will occasionally just flirt with me just to see what I'll do.
Really?
Or maybe. Or guys who are real ladies' men, you know, who have, you know, had sex with like half the women on campus, cannot resist flirting with the gay guy, just to see if their magic is so strong, I guess, you know.
I can understand the appeal of trying to do that. For me, like, I'm not completely committed to heterosexuality, so, you know, so sometimes I flirt a bit to see what I'm inclined to do with that situation. And sometimes it's just kind of being friendly when I'm feeling flirtatious and frisky.
Although I've seen guys do that, like, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, he acts like maybe he is a little interested. Then things go to a certain point, and that's where, you know, it needs to stop.
Well,
I mean, you may...
What do you mean needs? What is this? What do you mean needs to stop?
Well, you may want to kiss a person, but not want to do anything more. You may want
to... I'll grant that that's happened to me. So, when... there have been, I'm thinking of a particular case where I'd been flirting with a guy, and I'm not quite sure how things move beyond flirting, but they moved to kissing, and I was weirded out. That wasn't quite where I wanted to be at that mm-hmm. moment.
You kissed a man?
Yes.
I didn't know this. Did I know this? Was I notified?
You may not have known that. I've kissed a man. I've received fellatio.
Oh, my. My word. My land. Land's sakes.
Good heavens.
This wasn't when you were receiving fellatio from this man. This wasn't when the cleaning woman walked in on your office.
This is not when the cleaning woman walked in on my office.
Okay. There's only so much trauma that the cleaning staff can take.
This was in California, actually.
Wow. Fantastic.
Well, I admit I have attractions toward women occasionally. And in fact, I've kissed a woman. This is true confessions. But of course, you know, it's...
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
And so how did this happen? You guys, let's explore these same-sex, these perverted same-sex attractions more closely. Let's start with Jeff here. So how did this kiss come out? This is a romantic kiss, I assume.
Well, yeah, this was the girl that I was dating so that I could continue to be in the closet.
Oh.
And I was in the closet both to myself and to her. And, you know, we were...
I'm sorry. We got a phone call. If I can just suspend
please,
just for a moment.
Please save me from this.
Hello, is the caller there?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Johnny.
Johnny, welcome to the show.
Calling from Oakland.
All right.
Howdy. Cool.
What's up?
Not much. We're just kind of hanging out talking about Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm calling about Dr. Mystery.
Doctor,
what is that? Is that a show?
Or wait, Soccer Mystery, did you say?
He was on last week.
Oh, last week's guest, Dr. Mysterio.
Oh, Dr. Mysterio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any developments on... on the situation, because I think I'm interested in it.
Well, so I'm very disappointed to tell you that it turns out that Dr. Mysterio and his patients were misled me, and in fact they were not who they claimed to be. So I was under the impression that they had developed a fabulous new technique for converting straight men into homosexuality by transplanting homosexual stem cells. So that all turned out to be a terrible, terrible ruse, and in fact, they tricked me into coming on my show. As you know, I have the strictest standards for guests, but somehow they got past my screening process. And so...
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. I mean, my situation is I'm a horrible dancer. And I thought that it might help, you know, It might help it.
Being gay might improve
my dancing skills.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's a fantastic idea. Well, that's interesting because, I mean, some gay men are fantastic dancers, as you know. I myself, maybe I'm not truly homosexual. I mean, I think I'm a sort of terrible dancer myself. In fact, I don't even understand why people dance. It really annoys me that they're like, it just seems so like the most completely absurd thing a person could be doing with their body. So, you know, what I'm trying to tell you, in short, is that just becoming homosexual, I don't think cures the dancing problem all by itself. I mean, you might have to.
On the other hand, I am the more or less straight man, and who has been told that I dance like a gay man. So I can give tips.
Interesting.
In particular, the main tip to not dancing like a straight white man is to move your hips.
Your hips.
Did you ever see Tales from the City?
I haven't.
No, I haven't either, actually.
I haven't either. Sorry.
Okay, because I like the dancing in that movie. And I want to be able to dance like that, but I guess it doesn't matter.
We're having some kind of technical difficulty hearing you. Maybe our producers can correct that. So this is this PBS series, Tales of the City. There was dancing in there?
Yeah, that's what it was. Well, there was a gay character on there, and he did this.
Well, yeah, and so there was some kind of dance club scene or something?
Yeah, there was a dance club scene, and he was, I think he was, like, being, like, performing some kind of strip act, and he did this.
Oh, fabulous. Mm.
Neat.
Interesting.
Well, gay culture was, you know, particularly back in the 70s, was very bar-oriented and still is, and bar-oriented.
Bar-oriented.
And you know, the best thing that I think you can do in a bar is dance. And, in fact, disco got started in the gay bars.
So, oh, it did not. Did it?
It did not. Well, that's what someone told me,
really?
So it must be true.
Did you ever see the movie Cruisin'? And,
what's that?
Cruisin' with Al Pacino.
I've seen Cruisin'.
That was a cool gay movie.
I'm sorry. Something's happening with our connection to you.
We can hardly hear you, sir.
Okay. Is this any better?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, better.
Thank you. Much better.
No, I just thought Cruisin' was a cool gay movie. That's cool.
So when Cruisin' came out, I mean, it caused, like, worlds, you know, all kinds of protest because of its sort of negative stereotyping of gay people. I mean, I think Cruisin' was directed by the same guy that directed The Exorcist. Am I right about this? And
I don't know.
And, you know, I mean, obviously, so like all movies of that period, the gay character had to be either sort of suicidal or homicidal or both, right? Mm. And so, you know,
there's still a fair bit of that in Hollywood.
So, yeah. So I think Cruisin' is widely regarded as sort of the worst gay-oriented movie ever made. Mm. You know, I haven't actually seen it recently, and so maybe viewed in a modern eye, it might have some sort of redeeming value. But I know that people were pretty opposed to it when it came out.
Now, if you do, you know, see one of those pink triangles, it will turn you gay eventually. You know?
If you look at it long enough.
Yeah, you have to. It has to burn its way into your brain, and then you'll become a terrific cook.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that's why I'm the world's worst homosexual, because, like, I don't clean, I can't decorate my house, I cannot cook, and I can't dance. I mean, I there's, you know.
I don't know a single show tune.
I don't do the opera thing. I don't know any show tunes.
You know what the problem is?
I don't go to plays.
We're also computer nerds, and that's pretty.
It's draining our souls.
Where did the significance of the pink triangle? When did that come along, and what is the meaning of it?
Well, would you like to handle that question, John?
Sure.
Jeffrey?
When Hitler was gassing everybody he didn't like, he invented the pink triangle as the identifying symbol for homosexuals. And he gassed the gays along with the gypsies and the Jews and others. And much later on, around the time of the Stonewall protests, the gay community decided that they were going to take this symbol and co-opt it and make it our own. And so that's been done. And today, it's a symbol of gayness or being gay, and it has a sort of a political overtone to it, unlike, you know, the rainbow.
Can you tell me about the history of the rainbow flag as a symbol?
Jesse Jackson invented his rainbow coalition, and it was supposed to have all the colors on it, and everybody was included in it. And but it ended up only the gay people used it, only the lesbian, gay, straight. And so it's become a gay symbol sort of by default. Mm-hmm. And that just happened in over the last few years.
Fascinating. So,
to return to a previous topic, I'll taunt y'all by the saying
please.
That I am a good cook and happy with the decor of my house.
Yeah, your house is. I've actually been to your house. I've been flogged at your house, if I remember.
You have indeed.
Really? Is this connected to the earlier incident he was talking about?
It's all connected. It's all part of one big web of pain. And your apartment / house is totally fabulous, I have to admit. Mm-hmm. It's very nice.
Well, I happen to know that cooking a good dinner for a woman will really impress her. Straight guys, listen up. You know, if you can only cook one thing good, this is what I'm told. Yeah.
So how well does it work for a man seducing a man to cook dinner?
Well, I mean, it's kind of expected, I suppose. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get enough dates to tell you.
do gay men go on dates? I mean, don't they just kind of like, meet at a gay bar and then go out to the... make out on the dance floor, tongue kiss each other, and then just go home that night and then have sex and then give each other's phone numbers and never call? I mean, isn't that sort of isn't that the standard scenario? I mean, there's no dating in the gay world.
Yeah. Well, what you described happens a lot, but yeah, gay men date. You know, gay men get married. They go steady. They tend to have sex a little bit sooner than heterosexual couples do, mainly because there aren't any women involved, I suppose.
Oh, that is such an objectionable comment. I bet if you did careful, if you actually were able to do a scientific study, you would find that heterosexuals are
just as horny as we are.
Well, I don't know if this is true or not.
Luke, save me.
I'm willing to believe. I'm making guessing blindly myself, but I'll get best that some straight folks are as ready to jump in the sack as the gay men stereotypically are, but that there's a much broader spectrum. I have heard stories about. Or the scientific studies that say that
gay men
tend to have far more sexual partners than the hets.
Phone call, got to suppress you. Hello, is a caller in the air?
Hi. How are you?
Fabulous, thanks for calling. How are you?
Good. Oh, okay. I guess I'd be better if I wasn't calling.
Some people's lives are improved by calling our show, but we'll see.
I'm not familiar with gay lingo or anything like that. Is that okay?
Sure.
Oh yeah.
We'll mail you the CD-ROM lexicon of gay lingo after
Great.
The show.
That's I could use that. I need something.
It's the manual that goes with the toaster.
Right.
So, did you have a question or comment?
Well, I kind of question and a comment.
Okay.
I'm older. Not older, but.
You can't be as old as me.
How old are you?
37.
Okay, I'm not that old.
See, there you are.
I'm tweener old. I'm like 30-ish, can we say?
Uh-huh.
Just leave it at that.
You ancient bastard.
Right,
go ahead.
Exactly. And I'm just starting to come out, but not like in a bold sort of TV movie sort of way.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kind of literally discovering that I am gay. And I have a boyfriend now, and if this makes any sense at all, I'm discovering that I am gay, and I think I'm also discovering that I don't like penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that on the air?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is that normal or does that happen often?
Oh, yeah.
So you don't like, we're talking about anal penetration, I assume.
Right. Yes.
And you don't like being sort of the top or you don't like being sort of the receiver or both?
Receiver. No, I like to penetrate. I'm just down on being a receiver. That's no good.
that's not only is that okay, there's even a word for it. It's called being a top. And you will be probably the fifth one in Pittsburgh. And you'll
more than that.
So I think it's not a question of good or bad. I mean, I think people fall into categories of sexual practices that they like and that they're good at.
Right.
And I think it's common, actually. I mean, in some sense, you know, you're a very valuable commodity because I think many gay men...
Because I don't give up, is that it?
Well,
no, it's just many gay men like to be the bottom.
Right, and if you're willing to do all the work, as it were, of being the top, I think that's actually... a lot of people really appreciate that.
Really?
Yeah, it's so normal what you're talking about that there's a word for it. So you're quite in the mainstream.
My boyfriend gives me the exact opposite impression. He's like condemning me for this.
The bottom line is it's sort of strange to condemn someone for what they like or don't like to do. I mean, everyone has their preferences, right?
I'm exaggerating. I don't mean condemn, but I mean pushing me.
The only thing I will say is I think that receiving anal intercourse is something that takes practice and a little bit of learning and is actually very rewarding if you're into it, you know. And so there are people who kind of don't know what they're missing because.
Explain that to me. I want it to be rewarding, and I understand that. But all I get is pain.
Right.
How do I get beyond that?
Well, for me, it took a long time, literally a matter of years with a partner that I trusted, and little experiments. Wow, we don't have much time left. I experimented with sort of, very small objects like lubricated fingers or, you know, sort of experimenting with myself in the bathtub or whatever, just trying to push things in the anus and then slowly working up to larger objects.
When you're getting penetrated, are you maintaining your erection? I mean, is that still part of...
If you're enjoying yourself, it is.
Different men have different reactions. I certainly do. I'm sort of, you know, rock hard the whole time.
Right.
The issue with the anus is very interesting. I mean, there's sort of an interior muscle that you don't have complete conscious control over.
Okay.
And so there's this very subtle kind of relaxation thing that you have to learn how to do, and you really have to become used to this feeling. And if someone penetrates, if you get penetrated too quickly by something that's too big, you're not used to it, it can be extremely painful
it hurts my ass.
That's very uncomfortable.
Right.
But you know, if you go slowly and, you know, like I said, over a period of time, maybe penetrate just a little bit.
Get your ass out here and take it, boy.
And then...
there are books on the subject. May I give him the phone number for GLCC?
We're out of time, so you should go ahead and give that number, and then maybe we should...
Okay. The number for the GLCC is 422-0114.
422-0114.
And they're there from 7 to 9 every all week nights. And it used to be Saturday 1 to 5. I'm not too sure about that.
And you can get books on this kind of stuff?
They have a whole library.
Yes.
Do they send them in brown paper?
Well, there's always the famous book that you can get. What is that? Anal, Pleasure,
Anal,
and Health.
Anal, Pleasure, and Health by Jack Morin.
Anal, Pleasure, and Health. And I think that's a pretty good book on the subject.
There's also The Joy of Gay Sex. In fact, if you go into any major bookstore like the Barnes & Noble, they'll have a section of gay books.
I don't think I'm ready to buy something like that.
Well, order it over the mail from Amazon.com.
There you go.
Right, but it does come wrapped in brown paper. I need that.
Amazon.com doesn't label what books you're getting.
If I get a book in the mail that says anal sex, I'm going to die.
And I understand.
I understand.
Or you might make a new friend in your mailman.
Right, the postman. postman alerts, this man likes anal sex.
The mailman always rings twice.
To go back to your original question,
right. It
is normal to feel the way you feel. And, yeah, do whatever's fun for you. Though I'll also respect what the other DJ said about with slow practice and work, you can learn to enjoy it more. But right. Do whatever's fun for you.
So, I mean, if you're motivated, I mean, if you feel that that's an area of potential sensual pleasure, then do the research on it. It's not like masturbation where there's almost no way to do it wrong. I mean, I think anal sex takes a little work to figure out how to do it right and how to do it in a way that doesn't hurt. And
lots of
one more question about that. My boyfriend says I can have anal orgasms while he's doing that to me. And to me, that, from what I know, and not just my body, but I guess I'm thinking from what I've read, that seems like a biological impossibility. Is that?
Well, we totally have to go. My producers told me we have to shut down. But I will say this one thing.
Give me a yes or no. Here.
And maybe you can call back next week, and we can go into this in great detail. Okay. Next Tuesday at 11.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling.
But the answer to your question is, the orgasms that I have had after anal penetration are the most powerful, head-banging, teeth-clenching orgasms of my life. I don't know what the physiological reaction there is. Probably stimulation of the prostate, but I'm telling you, they're the best ever. We have to go. Thanks to all the callers for calling in. Sorry for going over time. We apologize.
Love you guys.
And call us next week. Bye.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.